Good morning. Joining us right now is Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House and author of a new book, Vengeance. Mr. Speaker, good morning. Welcome to Mornings on the Mall. Glad to have you back.
It's always great to be with you.
Now, you have a new book out, and your wife, the Ambassador, also has a new book out called Remember the Ladies. You will be at the Barnes & Noble's in Tyson's Corner tonight at 7 o'clock with a book signing. Could you just briefly tell us what the book is about?
Sure. And let me say, Calista is not allowed to come because she's now, of course, working for the American people. But she will have copies of Remember the Ladies, which is for LSD Elephant for 48-year-olds. Vengeance, I think, fits right in with today's headlines. Vengeance is a novel in which terrorists get two super tankers full of oil, swap it to the North Koreans for nuclear material, not a nuclear weapon, but nuclear material, in order to build dirty bombs to try to set them off in American cities. And instead of missiles and all the things we focus on, their delivery system is just ships. And the story is Brooke Grant, who's been our heroine in two earlier books. Brooke Grant is a Marine Corps major, and she's assigned and ends up working with a woman from Mossad, the Israeli Secret Service, and a guy from Saudi Arabia, because they have no idea where the terrorists are going to set these weapons off. And it's a very compelling story, but it also says some key things for Americans to think deeply about. One, that your enemy has choices, and just because you focus on missiles and anti-missile systems doesn't mean they can't find other delivery systems. And two, you can't think of the world in a series of verticals like the U.S., North Korea, the U.S., Iran. You've got to think about networks of enemies and how the networks might work together in ways that you're really not prepared for.
Well, let's talk about North Korea. Jimmy Carter has volunteered to go to North Korea to try to finish the job that he started back in 1994. What do you think about that?
Well, I think Jimmy Carter is the personification of a worldview that believes talking with dictators while they develop weapons is good, because at least you're talking with them while they develop weapons. But we've seen President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama all talked with the North Koreans, and the North Koreans were quite happy to talk with us as long as they kept building weapons. And I think this is the frustration that President Trump faces. After 30 years, or I'm sorry, 23 years, go back to 1984, when we warned about this, Bob Livingston, who was chairman of the Appropriations Committee at the time, made an all-out effort to get Clinton to understand that we were following a strategy that was going to be devastating because the North Koreans were simply going to cheat, which they did. And, I think Carter represents the kind of liberalism that has learned nothing, is capable of learning nothing, and lives in a fantasy land. I mean, I'd like to know from him, since the policies he advocates have failed consistently for 23 years, what would he do differently this time? I wouldn't automatically reject him. You know, he is a smart guy. He was a nuclear engineer in the Navy. But his policies towards the Soviet Union, towards Iran, and towards North Korea were all failures. I think it's kind of ironic that he's now popping up to say hi. You know, the thing I started 23 years ago that has failed totally, I'd like to go back and try it again.
I want to talk about more some conversations and who's having them. I know you've been talking a little bit about this relationship between Senator Bob Corker and the President of the United States. Do you have any sense? You've written a book called Understanding Trump. Is this a relationship that can be repaired, and does it need
sure.
to be?
No, of course it can be. Look, these guys are both adults. They're both deeply committed to helping America. They both understand that the challenges we're facing are much, much bigger than Trump himself or Corker himself. And my hope would be that they'd get off this kind of, sending things back and forth, and they would come back and they would say, let's get together for lunch. Let's figure out, the number one thing Republicans have to do this year is pass a large tax cut by Thanksgiving. And Bob Corker plays a key role in that. They cannot afford to lose Corker and think they're still going to get a tax bill. And I would just say that I wish the president, if he has a grievance, pick up the phone and call the guy. Don't broadcast it nationally. And I would urge people who have a grievance with the president, if they're senators or House members or governors, pick up the phone and call him. I mean, this idea that we're going to have almost seventh grade, nattering back and forth, I think is very harmful and makes it much harder to govern the country.
But what about the theory that this is all just by design and it keeps people looking at the wrong thing? They're looking over here while President Trump is doing things over there.
I think there's some truth to that, although I think it's truer, say, of the NFL story where the president has clearly won a substantial victory. And then Roger Goodell's statement that was a clear sign of surrender from the position they would have had 2 or 3 weeks ago. And that's because the president was allied with the vast majority of Americans who believe you should honor the flag and respect the flag and the national anthem. That, you could argue, frankly, had he spent as much time on the tax cut as he spent on that, I think we'd be further ahead. But you can argue that that was a significant cultural fight. It fit his majority and the people that elected him to be president and was a legitimate argument with the left about whether or not you need to respect American institutions and American history. But I think one of the reasons they've had a hard time getting legislation through is, you know, Reagan really understood how to focus. And when they had the tax cuts in 1981, his chief of staff, Jim Baker, issued instructions to the cabinet that for 5 months they would make no speech that didn't relate to the tax cut. And so the entire team, from the president on down, educated the country about the tax cut. And I am very worried that at the pace we're going right now, that they're not going to get a tax cut done by Thanksgiving. And I think that, frankly, is a disaster for the Republican Party.
I want to ask you about your wife, because we mentioned at the top, you know, this is great. She's the newly confirmed ambassador to the Vatican. Will you be spending some time with her and visiting with Pope Francis? Have you met him before? And will you take the opportunity now that you have such close access?
Well, we have met the Pope. In fact, she sang for 21 years at the Basilica and actually has sung for 3 different popes. We made a movie about Pope John Paul II called 9 Days That Changed the World. She's not quite confirmed yet. She won the cloture vote last week by a really healthy 75-20 margin. And they will vote for her next Monday, and you know, every indication we have from Leader McConnell is that she'll be confirmed pretty handily. She will then be confirmed. Then it takes about 3 weeks to get all the paperwork in order, and then she goes to Rome, and then it'll probably take another month for the Pope to receive her. Just this is all diplomatic stuff. So she technically doesn't become an ambassador as such until the Pope receives her. It's very, very much a great tradition of how diplomacy is handled. I will be the spouse. I actually took a 4-day spouse course at the State Department. She took a 4-week course in being the ambassador, and I'm looking forward to it very much. And we've worked out an arrangement that I will spend 2/3 of my time in Rome and 1/3 of my time in Washington. I'll come back at least twice a month to work in public policy. And Fox has agreed to have a studio in Rome, so I'll remain very active. But I'll be very active as the spouse. And I'm really looking forward to it. First of all, if you say to somebody, "Hi, would you like to live in Rome for a couple of years?" How do you say no?
Yeah, under any circumstances. Yeah. If you want to pick his brain a little bit more about what it's going to be like to live in Rome, you can meet him tonight, Wednesday, tonight at 7 p.m. at Barnes & Noble in Tyson's Corner. He'll be doing a book signing there. Speaker Gingrich, thanks so much for stopping by Mornings on the Mall.
Good talking to you.